Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land. This is your friend Vincent E. Brown, and this is the WVEB presentation of Black by Color Only, where your skin color doesn't matter, but principles do. Now, if you would like to call into this show, our number, well, I can't say our number because it's just me here, but my number is 347-857-3533. Once again, the call-in number, 347-857-3533. And you can call in and talk pretty much about whatever you want to talk about. Today, it's going to be kind of a free-for-all and everything. But, you know, if you call in and or compliment or whatever, please season it well with respect. Because if you don't, I'm going to have to boot you through the uprights, okay? And what I call disrespect is excessive profanity, insults, character assassinations, trolling, you know, foolish talking, things of that sort, you know, that gets you kicked off pretty quickly. And so keep that in mind. I don't care if you agree with me. I don't care if you disagree with me, but just season it with respect, okay, in mind. And well, you all, we've come to not only the last show of this year, but the last show of the of my holiday run. Okay, we'll be going back on regular schedule this Saturday. And this Saturday I'm starting somewhat of a series, you know, about, well, it's going to be called Profit or Loss. When you spell profit, it's P-R-O-P-H-E-T or loss. And we're going to start talking about some of these big name preachers in the country and everything. And but something else, too, I was just on Facebook talking. Yeah, I try to recover from Saturday. Yeah, I'm well, pretty much have. Yesterday, I went to Gibsonville, North Carolina to see a dear friend of mine preach his initial sermon, someone I've known for 25 years, and that was kind of an emotional thing, because one thing about me, people, is I'm kind of an emotional person. You know, people told me I'm in touch with my female side. I tell people I don't have a female side. I'm just a sensitive man, you know. I mean, sometimes I watch movies, I break down crying and stuff like that. I'm, you know, I'm not effeminate or anything like that. No sugar in this pocket. And no, I'm not in denial, you know. But I just happen to be a sensitive man, you know. And that was a sensitive affair yesterday. You know, it was so good because this was a person I had led to Christ 25 years ago. And to see him stand up and do his initial sermon yesterday was it meant all the world to me. You know, it was way out in the country, you know, but I love taking a trip out there just to see him preach his initial sermon. And like I was about to say, hey, sweetie, got a frame for the picture. No, I'm just talking to my wife here. You all, like I said on the last show, she's a big distraction, and I don't like it when she comes in here when I'm doing a show. But anyway, as I was going to say, I was just on Facebook talking to a friend of mine. This was a friend of mine that used to go to the same church I go to, and I had wondered why he had left the church. And he has a site up talking about tithes and offerings. And let me tell you all, this is something that's become a real sensitive issue with me lately. In our churches today, we're told we have to pay a mandatory tithe and we have to pay a mandatory offering. Many of us, we will relate to the scripture in Malachi, the third chapter and the eighth verse, bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. I mean, some of us, we've had that scripture hammered into our heads by the preachers and everything. But one thing we don't understand is, first of all, that scripture was in the Old Testament. And by it being in the Old Testament, it would behoove somebody to go into the Old Testament and find out what the tithe and the offering really was, to define it, to define what it really was. And when you, on careful examination of the scripture, you find out tithes and offerings had nothing to do with money. Nothing at all had nothing to do with money, or, make sure the man of God is. Make sure you give 10% of your income, of your paycheck, to the man of God to make sure he's taken care of. And the thing that gets me about all this is, okay, now let's say any of the common people in the church, any of the common people in the church, they are low on finances. And we might come and ask for help, and they'll say, "Well, you need to walk by faith." Now, here's the kicker. Now, when they're low on finances, they will jump on the congregations and say, "Y'all not giving enough. You're not doing this. I need to be paid. My house bill is due and everything, and I shouldn't be walking around here. Y'all need to pay me. Y'all need to pay me. Y'all need to pay me." And my thing is, okay, so why is it that we have to walk by faith, but you have to depend on the congregation for your income? See, when we see the words "walk by faith" in the Bible, it's not that just talking about the common lay people and that we're just here to support the finances of the preacher. It's telling everybody to walk by faith, because guess what? The preachers are human just like everybody else. And my thing would be to them, people say, "Well, y'all don't want to support your preachers, and he has to go begging and everything like that." And I would say, "Well, why don't you walk by faith, just like we have to? We don't have anyone to supply us with income when we're low on our finances." And I've often heard preachers tell their congregations that the congregations don't love them because at their anniversary or their birthday or whatever, the congregation didn't give them enough, like there was a set amount they were expecting. First of all, we don't know what the set amount is. And second of all, you have to understand that we have families. You have families that need to buy groceries. They need to keep their cars running. They got bills to pay and everything. And I would tell anybody, if you go to a church and, the subject comes up about whether to take care of the church or to take care of your family, you take care of your family first. You take care of your family first. That's the thing. They will tell you when you get your paycheck, the first thing you should write off is your tithes and your offerings. No, you should take your family first. And then whatever you have left over or whatever, you can decide what to do with it. And nowhere in the Bible does it say you are to be a supporter of your church, financially, that you're financially responsible for your church. Now, a lot of us have had this hammered into our head so much that when someone brings it up a different point of view, you know, kind of like liberals, they don't want to have an open mind about it. Oh, no, 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 no. You're against paying tithes. You're against paying offerings. You're in heresy. But show me in the Bible where it is my Christian duty to take care of the pastor. It's nowhere in there, people. It's nowhere in there. And now, I have no problem with people who will give their entire paycheck to a church or anything like that. I have no problem with that if they are doing it from their heart, not because someone is coaxing them and coercing them to give. The Bible says, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give, because God loves a cheerful giver. If someone is coaxing you and saying, I know you got that $100 in your pocket, you better give that $100. I know you're saving that for a vacation or going out to eat. You need to give to the things of God. If you're giving because someone tells you that, then you're not going to be a cheerful giver. You're giving because someone coerced you, guilt-tripped you into digging into your pocket, pull out that $100 bill that you might need for groceries or whatever. And then the frosting on the cake is, okay, y'all better shout about it. Get up there and shout. You better shout. People, you don't find that nonsense in the Bible. And yes, it's nonsense. And this is something I've come to learn within the past couple of years. 8 years ago, me and my wife got married, and this is a church I had been going to for, at the time, it had been 18 years. Had been faithful paying tithes, been faithful paying offerings. And it came time for us to get married. Now, like I said, I've been a member in this church for 18 years. My wife had been a member at that time, maybe 3 years. And I had been a full-time missionary for 3 years, worked for the church for 3 years, paid tithes, offerings, you know, yada, yada, yada. Now, when it came time for us to get married, you know, we had to pay to use the very same sanctuary that we've been going into for years. We had to pay to use that sanctuary, had to pay for the dining room for the reception, and we had to pay for the sound crew. Now, all of this, I didn't start realizing until this year. You know, you look back and you're like, you know, you paid all those tithes, you paid all those offerings, and it really didn't count for anything. You still had to pay. You're a member, you still had to pay. And the kicker to me was when I called my mom about a couple of months ago, and we were talking about her wedding when she got married in 1999, and she was married in a Catholic church. Oh, nice looking church on the inside, I mean, everything. And I asked my mom, how much did you have to pay for that? She said, nothing. I said, what? She said, I pay for anything. And see, the thing that made me mad was we sit here, we talk about the Catholic Church, which I don't believe the Catholic Church is a Christian church. I really don't. We sit here, we talk about them, we dog them and everything. But they're basically doing the works we should be doing. Church has become a big business in this country. It's become really big. It's a business. It's not about the gospel of Jesus, even though some will say, you know, we need to go out witnessing and yada, yada, yada. But it's really big business to them. It's almost like if they do something for you, what are you going to do for them? If we do this for you, we want something in return. And that's that whole give to get mentality. You know, when they say when you go to church, you give to get, that is a mentality of greed, really. You should be giving because it's out of your heart, and you're not really expecting anything in return. It's something, if you do get something in return, you thank God for it. If you don't, you still thank God that you were able to meet a need. But you don't go to church and say, I'm giving this money so I can reap a financial harvest. You don't do that. A lot of people have been hurt by that. That's why a lot of people don't want to come to church, because of that. Well, I give to get. I give to get. I believe God is going to put his abundant blessings over me and everything. And we think the blessings of God is more stuff. We think the blessings of God is a bigger house. We think the blessings of God is a big, expensive car. We think the blessings of God is a whole bunch of expensive stuff, our houses. And then we go back and we say, well, we want the blessings of Abraham. Abraham was rich, you know, because, you know, that thing he did with Isaiah, when he gave up Isaac, when he gave up Isaac for a sacrifice. You know, God blessed them because of that. And they don't realize, Abraham was rich long before that. And it wasn't because he was hoarding a lot of stuff. You see, Abraham had a family to take care of, and he also had more than 300 soldiers. And he was rich for a purpose. See, he was rich, but he lived as a nomad, okay? You know, and people talk about, you know, when Abraham tied to Melchizedek and everything, but you only see that one time in the Bible. And what he tied to Melchizedek was the spoils of the war, was the spoils of a war that he had to free his nephew Lot from. But if someone is coaxing you and guilt tripping you, I'm sitting here looking at BG Street. He said, please don't bring the liberals. I don't want to get sick online. I can understand. But if someone is coaxing you, guilt tripping you, beating you over the head because you didn't give to the church parking lot fund or something like that, then you know that that's not of God. That's not of God. God's not going to guilt trip you over that. Now, I'm not saying don't give. I'm not saying don't be generous, because the Bible is full of examples of generosity. And see, we talk about the poor as if the reason why they are poor is because they didn't walk by faith. You know, when Jesus made the statement, you know, the poor you will always have with you. You know, there are some preachers that actually have the audacity to say, the reason why Jesus made that statement was because he realized there are people who are not going to walk by faith, and that's why they're poor. They say that. I've heard it with my own ears. This is not something up. This is not something that I'm saying because I feel like I have a vendetta against these churches or anything like that. These are the facts. Now, I'm a born-again Christian. I've been a born-again Christian since 1986. And for a long time, I got caught up in this type of mess. I got caught up in it until about a couple of years ago. And they'll get up and they'll say, well, some of you all, y'all been planning those vacations. You need to take that vacation and give it to the house of God. House of God. The house of God is supposed to be the heart of the believer, not the church building. Yeah, you all live in them nice houses and the house of God is in ruin. It is not my responsibility to put money into an offering so you can import gold and ivory chairs from the jungles of Cameroon, okay? But, you know, when your eyes are open to this thing, it just gives you a flood of, you know, information, and you just look back and you're like, my goodness, you know what? This thing ain't right, you know. This is not right. But people, I do not know how in the world I got off onto this subject. This is not a subject I wanted to get on today. Really, I wanted this to be an end of the year, type thing. And wow, my goodness, look at all these people in my chat room. And Barbara Mulligan Buffing, she's a new friend of mine on Facebook. Just got acquainted with her today. And I see BG Street, BG Street. I know about Catholicism because I used to be a Catholic. So you know, you're on point right there. It is a cult. You know, I used to be a Catholic and went to Chrism and confirmation and confessionals and all. I went through all that. So you know, BG, you're on point. And but anyway, let's get to my callers. I got some callers, and basically, like I said, I want this to be about end of the year, you know, things that you've seen over the years and everything, and things that you're expecting for the next year. You all, this year has been a great year for me. It has really been a great year. And I said it at the beginning of this year, this is going to be probably the best year of my life. And from what I can see, it's turned out to be, it really has turned out to be the best year. Last year, I was unceremoniously booted out of a job at the Christian Academy Church that I go to. And they did it at the last minute. It, be honest with you, it was crooked the way they did it. Because summer vacation had already started, and during those 3 months of summer vacation, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to come back and work here, but at the last minute, I get a letter in the mail saying, you're no longer working here, and I'm like, well, dog, they could have told me that at the beginning of the year. I could have been looking for a job, and all I had was a part-time job with FedEx and my wife's job, and basically, my wife got paid once every month, and we were depending on her paycheck, which I didn't like that too much. I really didn't. I didn't like that too much. But we made it through. We made it through 2011, and it was kind of hard because, you know, we couldn't do some things and whatever. And but around March, 1st of March, I get a notice saying you need to come to Staff Masters, which is a temporary agency here in Durham. And I went out there and filled out the application, yada, yada, yada. They gave me the rules and everything and stuff like that. And they sent me to a place called AW North Carolina, which I was somewhat familiar with AW North Carolina because it was a place I wanted to work at after I had lost my job at a place called Custom Molders. Back in 2005, about a couple of months after me and my wife had gotten married, and I got laid off because the company closed. And getting out at AW North Carolina is not an easy task. It is not easy. You don't just get out there and say, okay, I want to work here, I'll fill out an application, boom, there you go. Nah, it's not that easy. And when the temporary agency called me, I pretty much saw it as, okay, here's my opportunity to get my foot in the door. I'm going to do on this job. I'm going to do my best that I can on this job, yada, yada, yada. You know, they assemble transmissions. And I see you all in the in on the phone lines and everything. I'm going to get to you. But once again, you know, went out there. It's kind of a long drive, about 15, 20-minute drive to me. That's a long drive to a job, you know. But most of the people, a lot of the people who work there, they drive an hour from Virginia, like Danville and South Boston. And I consider a blessing to be here in Durham where the company is. So I go out there and I'm working, you know, I get out there and the people out there that I work with, they were a great bunch of people, really. Because when I got out there, because of our finances and everything, I didn't have a lunch to bring. I'm talking about earlier this year, March 26th. I didn't have a lunch to bring. And the boss lady, she comes out and she said, Vincent, I noticed you didn't eat anything during lunchtime. I said, yeah, my finances are low and everything, and, you know, until I can get some finances, you know, whatever. She said, no, I tell you what, I got some crackers and I got a soda for you in the break room. She took my place on the line, and she said, I want you to go in there, and I want you to get you something to eat. And I'm sitting there like, wow. I went in there, got me something to eat and everything. She said, look, we're not going to let people starve here. She said, look, this job will work you. You can't come here without, you know, having something to eat, you know. And it's a pretty strenuous job in a way. And then one day I'm in the break room, and one of my coworkers slips a $10 bill in my hand. And she said, look, Vincent, you know, we just wanted to do this for you because we know you don't have. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my goodness, you are kidding me. And so, you know, I stayed at the job. And one thing I'm always a stickler about is being on time. I like being on time, you know, and every time, you know, came out to the job, I was on time. And 3 months later, they say, you know, you can get hired after 3 months being with staff masters. And 3 months later, a guy who had come in just a couple of days before I did, he got his red hat. That means you're on 90-day probational period to be a permanent employee. But when my 90 days was up, I was still a temporary. Matter of fact, I was a temporary all the way until this month, until December. And, you know, I didn't complain about it. I didn't complain. I said, you know what, I'm still going to do my work. I'm still going to do it to the best of my ability. Come here, do what you're told, you know, follow instructions, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, people ask me, Vincent, when are you going to come on permanent? I said, you know, whenever it happens, you know, I'm just going to stick here. And around the end of November, my boss lady came up and she said, Vincent's going to get his red hat. Oh, my goodness. You should have. Oh, my goodness. It was like the Miami Dolphins had won the Super Bowl. I was like, are you kidding me? And they said, yeah, this is the date, you know, and I went to the orientation and whatever. And December the 10th, 21 days ago. Well, not 21 days. It couldn't be 21 days. Yeah, 21 days ago, I started working as a permanent employee with my 90-day probational period, started working as a permanent employee as AW North Carolina, making more money than I ever made in my life. And that's something I thank, that's something I thank God for. I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, I had all the resources to be able to get hired on this job. You know, and that, you know, it's been an exciting year for me. It really has. And I was able to take my wife out to Myrtle Beach for the first time in a couple of years. Was able to take her to Myrtle Beach. We had a blast at Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is our playground. We've been there 7 times. And I love it at Myrtle Beach. I call Myrtle Beach the poor man's Florida. That's what, you know, I call it the poor man's Florida. You know, and some people tell me, oh, don't speak that. You know, that don't speak that crowd. They get on my nerves. And the only reason why I call it the poor man's Florida, because it gives you pretty much a Florida atmosphere, even though it's not as warm as Florida. But it pretty much gives you a Florida's atmosphere, and it is so much to do. In Myrtle Beach, you can't say you can be bored in Myrtle Beach. You just can't. Now, to me, sitting on the beach and doing Sudoku on the beach is enough excitement for me. But they now have a new boardwalk down there. We got on the sky wheel, you know, and everything. And of course, you have your share of pancake houses and seafood restaurants, you know. And, you know, this year, you know, I was able to acquire some things this year. And one thing too, people, when you do have finances, you know, don't just think about yourself, though. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you got to pay bills and stuff like that, but don't just think about yourself. You know, think about others. And I think that's the point that a lot of churches are missing. They're always thinking about, you need to pay to the church. 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 But we got people outside of the church. We drive by them in our fancy Cadillacs and our SUVs, but we don't even think about, let's stop right here. Sir, are you hungry? Can we get you something to eat? And we want to blame the congregations for why our churches are closed. The reason why we don't have a lot of people in churches is because we call ourselves Christians, but they're not seeing Christian actions from us. We're always talking, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, oh, hallelujah, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. But we never think about that person who's on the street. We sit there and we make fun of them. We say that the reason why they're poor is because they always got that hand out. But excuse me, preacher man, then what about your hand? You see where I'm getting to with this, folks? And you know, just a couple of years ago, I just, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to give what I want on my heart. No one's going to be telling me, you know, you need to give this every month and stuff like that. I said, I'm going to give what's already laid up in my heart. But anyway, oh my goodness, my list of callers is gone. I was going to pick you all up. I really was, you know, but one thing people got to understand about me. One thing people got to understand about me, when I start my show, I do my little rant and everything, and I tell people, just be patient and I'll get to you, you know. So, but anyway, I saw Stan was on here. Stan is something else, I tell you. Wow, Stan really is something else. But like I said, it's been a great year for me. It really has. And I want to invite everybody who's in the chat room. If there's something that God has done for you this year, or you something phenomenal has happened to you this year, you know, just call in and just share that. Just call in and share it. You know, like I said, today is kind of a free for all. You know, once again, but the respect light is on. The respect light is green. Okay, so that means if you call in, you've got to show respect. None of this foolishness that some people call in with and everything, you know. But anyway, another thing that happened earlier this year, we, and it's kind of funny because last year when I was still working at FedEx, they had a thing around Thanksgiving. You know, it was like a get together, like a cookout or something, but it was inside the building. And me and my wife played this game called Cornhole. And if anybody knows what Cornhole is, it has to do with a wooden box, and it's propped up on one side, and it has a hole in it. And you toss these corn bags or bean bags and try to get them into the hole. And it's kind of like horseshoes in a way. It's kind of like horseshoes. And well, my wife beat me in all three games we played. The last game was more competitive, you know, but she still beat me. And I said, this is really fun. I said, this game is really fun. So when I got the new job, I had enough money to buy something kind of like cornhole, but it's called Baggo. It doesn't have the boxes, just like a slab, a plastic slab with a hole at the end. And so my wife, we went to a park here in North Carolina, right next to the lake, beautiful scenery. And we were going to play that game out there. Well, my wife had to go to the bathroom. And so I'm sitting there practicing. And this big guy with a Confederate flag hat comes down. He says, hey, man, can I play with you? And I said, sure, you know, come on, let's play. And, you know, he proceeded to whoop my tail. And I realized that this guy was a horseshoe pitching champion. And so my wife comes back And he challenges my wife. And I said, you don't want to do that. Don't let my wife fool you. My wife is like 5'4". I guess she's 5 foot, maybe 5'2". I don't know how tall my wife is, but she weighs anywhere from 110 to 120 pounds. She's not very big. And I said, don't let her fool you. This girl is good, I'm telling you. And so they proceeded to play the game. And would you know, my wife ended up beating that rascal. And it was a very competitive game. It was a lot more competitive than when I played the guy. I mean, this game was competitive. I mean, and this guy showed that he was a horseshoe pitching champion. But do you know, my wife ended up beating that rascal. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you have got to be kidding me. And big guy, you know, he might fit the definition of a redneck. He was about the same age as I was, you know, and he had the Confederate, you know, flag on his hat and everything. That type of stuff doesn't bother me. I'm not bothered by the Confederate flag. The guy was very friendly. You know, he invited us to his house that evening for a cookout. But I had to do a radio show, so. But I, now that I look back, I probably should have, you know, gone, you know, to the cookout, because that could have been a start of a big friendship. I thought I had put his number on my cell phone, but I probably entered it wrong, and I haven't been able to see him. But I hope I get to see him again, because, you know, that I really like that. You know, somebody just come out of the blue. Hey man, can I play with you? I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, big white guy, you know, and you all know me. I don't get caught up in people's skin color or anything. I just like meeting new people. I like to see new people's situations and hear their stories and things like that, because, you know, when you go through life just by yourself, it's kind of dull. That's what makes the world so exciting, because everybody is unique in their own little way. And you get to learn new things about other people and everything. It's really exciting. It's really exciting thing to meet somebody who is different than you are. That's what I don't understand about my fellow black people, who always think that because you're black, you got to think like they do. Why? I mean, really. Isn't it boring just going through life talking about how evil the white man is? I mean, really. And see, I don't get caught up in that mess. I don't get caught up in that garbage. The whiteness and the white man, I don't get caught up in that mess. What I get caught up in is the truth. That's all I care about. That's the only thing I care about, is the truth. And yes, I'm a very opinionated person. Don't get me wrong. I am highly opinionated, very opinionated. But I realize that my opinion can be right or wrong. And, oh, my goodness, wait a minute. BG Street, you're Brian Ganges. I did not know this was Brian Ganges. Wow. Okay. I'm sitting here talking about it. I didn't even know he was on my chat page. Hey, I appreciate that. You know, this is a person I was talking about, that I was talking to on Facebook earlier. You know, a lot of our, you know, talking about the churches and everything, about the tithes and the offerings and stuff like that. And I remember he went to the church. And I used to sing with his wife in the choir, and he had an adorable little girl. Oh my goodness, this girl was just adorable. You know, really adorable little girl. You know, I can imagine how big she is now. But he had this adorable little girl, and then one day, you know, I remember he preached his initial sermon, and I'll never forget it because he introduced it in Spanish. Brian Ganges is very fluent in Spanish. Probably about as fluent as my wife is in Chinese. But then one day I didn't see him anymore, and I was like, well, maybe he just saw something he just didn't agree with and left. And of course, when people leave the churches, a lot of people say, well, you know, you should fellowship with that person anymore. You know, show me that in the Bible. Please, somebody, please. Show me that in the Bible. These people lead their churches and y'all still want to fellowship with them. Yeah, because that's still showing the love of God. Hello? And when a person leaves a church, you know, a lot of us, we get super spiritual. Oh, they came to the church. This is where God had them planted. And they just up and leave without the pastor sending them off. Show me that in the Bible, people. But I noticed he wasn't there anymore. And then another guy named, William Taylor, you know, they had, he left because, you know, he said tithes and offerings weren't scriptural. And this was in 2003. And, you know, me, I was still caught up in the, you know, the old hallelujah and all, you know, and everything. But about a couple of years ago, my eyes got open to this thing. And it was watching a video on YouTube by a person who wasn't even a Christian. Now, that's sad. When a non-Christian has to show you that what you've been believing is wrong, that is sad. And that's when I said, wait a minute. You know, and he was bringing some points. And I was like, oh, my goodness. All these years, I've been paying tithes. I've been paying offerings. You know, for a while they had what you call the PV. You had to pay $500 a year. Now they have the what they call the evangelism seed. You have to pay $1 a day, $365 a year, $100 for the building fund, $200 if we have a fifth Sunday in the month. And then the statement goes out, I don't ask you for much. Are you serious? Well, I don't ask for much. Are you serious? Do you know how much $200 a month is for some people? Well, I don't ask for much. No, you ask for too much. And then you want to beat people over the head because they choose to take care of that instead of giving to the revival seed or whatever. You're asking for too much. And you want to beat people over the head. And then you want to lie to them and say that if you do this, God will bless you with a financial harvest. Like I said, I'm going to talk about this on Saturday. I'm definitely going to talk about this on Saturday because you got one little kook who said Jesus was going to come back this year. And that when, and he said the thing that's holding up the rapture is because the church is not wealthy. I got the video, people, and I frequent YouTube a lot. I go to YouTube a lot. And I thank God for things like the internet and YouTube and Facebook and things like that, even though they do have their faults and flaws and everything, but they have been a source of great information for me. And, of course, if you see anything that's wrong, you know to avoid the wrong and everything. But YouTube and Facebook and a whole bunch of other things have been a great source of information to me. And what those of us who call ourselves Christians, we need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. We need to go, don't just sit there and take the preacher's word for it. We need to go home and study the scriptures. That's why we need to study them for our own. That's how the Catholic Church was able to gain control over its followers, because they made it like the priests were the ones who understood the word of God, and that if anybody else who was not a priest tried to understand it, they would go crazy. They told people that. That's how they controlled them. But the Bereans, what they did, they went home and they studied the scriptures to see that if what Paul or Peter, I get those two mixed up. I don't know why. 25 years in this thing, and I still get those two mixed up. But they went back to see if what the preacher was saying was true. And my eyes were open basically because I was on my own searching for information. We can't just take the preacher's word for it, people. We can't do that. They have, you know, one thing, you know, you tell people about, you know, the man of God, and they, you know, they, and see, I don't like that title, man of God, being applied just to preachers. I don't like that term, because anybody who is a Christian is a man or a woman or boy. And, you know, they come, you know, their anniversary come, and everyone's like, oh, we got to bless the man of God. What's the man of God? They want to sound all spooky and religious and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, after a while, it just wore down on me. I was like, man, look, young, why can't you just, you know, let's bless the man of God? You know, we got to bless the man of God. And see, the problem with me is I'm intellectual by nature. By nature, I'm intellectual. If I find a point that I want to run with, I'm going to run with it. And the way to get by on me is to brainwash me. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm not saying that to be doubtful of myself or anything like that. But you really have to. But see, the problem with me is I'm a person, I'm going to listen to every point of view. I'm going to listen to every point of view. I don't sit there and just say, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. No. And see, I hadn't heard any challenges to tithe and offering thing until about 2.5 years ago. And I got the thing, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not what I've been taught. And a lot of times we get that thing, we're like, you know, that's not what I've been taught, so let's just toss it away. But me, I just kept looking, and I kept looking, and I kept searching. And then my eyes were open. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then that's when your hindsight opens up. And when you look back in the years past, you're like, oh, my goodness, you have got to be kidding me. And you start to notice things that happened in your past that were not biblical. Like they say, hindsight is 20/20. Well, I think my hindsight was 20/10. And then you start looking up information about this type of stuff. And see, a lot of people, they're so caught up into what their pastor is saying. They're so hoodwinked and everything. If someone says, okay, here's a book about tithing and telling you how unscriptural it is, they'll be like, no, I don't even read that. You know, it sounds like the liberals, don't it? The liberals, they think they know everything, and so when some an alternative point of view comes their way, that I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't want to read no Ann Coulter. I don't want to hear about no Sean Hannity or anything like that. I don't. Without investigating it themselves and trying to come to a point of view, somebody has already made a point of view for you, and you decide to run with it. That's what's happening in our churches today. And I see I got a very conversation going on in my chat room. And usually when you come to this program, I usually don't talk about the religious thing and everything. I do it every now and then, but, you know, I'm going to start doing it more often. You know, because someone needs to sound the trumpet about these people. And usually what I talk about is the morality in politics and everything, stuff that you see going on in everyday world, you know. And, you know, just let people know I did not support Obama. I do not support Obama. I do not support a person who supports child killing and homosexual marriage. Why? Because that's against Christianity. And I can't support that. I can't support them. This past election, you know, some people might fuss me out, you know, and I'm just going to get ready for it, but some people might fuss me out, but I didn't vote for either Obama or Mitt Romney. I wrote my name in. Because I was already sure about Barack Obama. I wasn't too sure about Mitt Romney, so I just wrote my name in, you know. And some people say, well, you should have voted, you know, either way somebody would have won and yada, yada, yada. Nah, I don't like to do that. I don't like to just, you know, vote and just hope the best comes. You know, one of the things I don't like people telling me, when you cast your vote, you're putting out your voice. Your vote is your voice. I don't believe that. Because when I vote, someone might look at it and say, okay, he voted for so-and-so, but they don't know why I voted for so-and-so. And see, that's why I like shows like Blog Talk Radio, because there, you want to know my voice, go to blogtalkradio.com/blackbicoloronly, and you will hear Vincent Brown tell you what he thinks, you know, what he believes in, what his thoughts are, and everything about what's going on in the world. Now, I'm not telling people don't vote. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to say that. And either way, if you voted for Obama or Mitt Romney, you did so because you're an American citizen. You can vote for whoever you doggone well please. But my conviction is I'm not voting for a man who supports homosexual marriage, who supports abortion, and not only abortion, but infanticide, where if a child was subject to abortion and survives the abortion, they just take the child and lay it off somewhere so it can die by itself. I don't support a person who lied about the economy, saying that he was going to cut the deficit within 4 years, that the jobless rate was going to shrink. I do not support a person who says we need to raise taxes on the rich because the rich need to pay their fair share. This question I want to pose to that is, what is the richest fair share? When in some places they're paying 50 to 60 cents on every dollar that they make, what is their fair share? And no, I did not want to be a part of history to vote in the first black president. And first of all, Barack Obama isn't even half black. He's not even half black. His father was half black. His father was Arabian and black. And then his mother was white, so, you know, really, he's a third black. I mean, I'm just saying, to those of you all, you know, oh, y'all hate Barack Obama because of his skin color, because he's black. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's what you are, stupid. Y'all just don't like Barack Obama. No, we just don't like his policies. And don't be a white person and say you don't like Barack Obama. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're a racist. You know, and you know, I gave the definition of a racist the other night, Saturday night. I gave the definition of a racist. A racist is anybody who is winning an argument against a liberal. That's basically what a racist is. Really, you know, really the term for a racist is a person who esteems his race above any other race. That's basically what a racist is. And when I told this to some supreme black folk, they said, that's the white supremacist definition. Black people can't be racist because we don't have the power. You don't need to have the power. I listen to these people and, you know, it's like, man, please, somebody get me some Aleve or something, you know, because I'm getting a headache. And me, people, I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your skin color is. I just as much start a conversation with a white person as I would with a black person. I already told you about the guy I met this year at the park. You know, he had on a Stars and Bars hat, Confederate hat on. And see, I don't get bothered by that stuff. You know, people see the Stars and Bars and they're like, oh, he's a racist. This guy was not racist. Not one inch of racism in his body. He had the classic look of, you know, the you know, what they call the redneck. I don't like using that name. I really don't like using the name Redneck. But he had a classic look and everything, had the, you know, the Southern drawl and everything. But the man wasn't racist at all. He invited us to his house, which, I, like I said, I probably should have gone. And was just as friendly as anything. And, you know, he kept giving my wife the side eyes. You know how people like the side eyes because my wife beat him in Bago. You know, he was like, well, that woman. he got some level of revenge on my wife when we played a game of teams, men against women, and the men did beat the women. But one-on-one, my wife is still queen, so. My wife beat me 3 times, so, I mean, but, you know, I'm just a person, everyday Joe, just wants to get along with anybody, really. And I understand that everybody's not going to get along with me. I know that, you know. I'm sure of that. No, everybody's not going to get along with me. But I'll be doggone if I'm going to judge you because of the color of your skin. Oh, he's white. I got to be careful around him. People, I've had black people do way more bad things to me than white folks. People used to talk about how I look, black folks. People used to talk about how I talk, black folks. People talk about how I walk, black folks. The people who talked about my skin color more than anybody, black folks. When I was in eighth grade, this white boy made a crack about my nappy hair. And guess what? The black and the white folks were laughing about it. So people don't give me this thing that the problems of the black folk is because of the white people. The white people are holding us back. Man, you live in the freaking United States of America. How in the world are you going to say a white man is holding you back? You got freedom to do whatever you want to in this country. Try to do what you want to do in countries like Haiti or like where my wife is from or any of them African nations or any of them Arab nations. And tell me if the United States is as oppressive as people make it out to be. Yeah, you got some boneheads running our government and everything and stuff like that, but we are still the best country in the world. We are still the best country in the history of the world. So don't come to me with that crazy, with that stupid mess. Oh, the white man is holding me back. He's got me in chains in my mind. The chains are on your mind because you haven't broken the chains yourself. The white man ain't keeping you in bondage. Yeah, I've had people tell me, you know, white people are still benefiting from slavery. How? How are they benefiting from slavery? How? Someone tell me. Pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. People, just, you know, don't get me started on this mess, because this type of mess just drives me batty. It drives me batty. It really does. And then these rascals want to come in. You know, what color was Jesus? I don't give a flip what color Jesus was. Jesus was black. Okay, well, suppose he was. You're still not doing what he said do when he said love your enemies. You're hung up on his skin color. And I can just see these people on Judgment Day. Why didn't you listen to my son Jesus? Well, Lord, I just wanted to get past that thing about whether he was black or not. That's not going to hold. That's not going to hold with you on Judgment Day. The white man took everything from us. You know, Al Sharpton, that guy with that show on MSNBC that got about 5 viewers or something like that, he was talking about we had all the electricity and the white man stole it from us. Well, if we had all the technology and everything, the white man shouldn't have taken it from us. We had electricity. We were technologically advanced. I think he'd been watching too many Black Panther comic books or something. I think that's what he was doing, watching too many Black Panther comic books. Because, you know, in those of you all who used to read comic books, the Black Panther, he was basically a king of Wakanda in Marvel Comics. And they were far more advanced than a lot of civilizations and everything. I think that's where he got that idea from. You know, he was, you know, watching too many Black Panther comic books and everything. And I am so sick and tired of these Black folks telling me that the education you got is a Northern white European education. Shut up. Just shut up. What more can you get? I mean, if 2 + 2 = 4 with a Northern white European, 2 + 2 = 4 with an African. You know, I mean, see, there are two things that are universal, and it might be more, but these are two things that stand out to me more than anything that are universal to everybody: mathematics and truth. They're universal to everybody. What, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 to an Australian, just like 2 + 2 = 4 to an Alaskan. That's the truth. And I'm so sick and tired of these guys telling me, you got a Northern white European. I mean, why are you always bagging on the Northern white Europeans? What? They're the ones who stole us from our lands. Excuse me. You were sold into slavery by Black Muslims. Do a little research. White people didn't just say, oh, look, a bunch of Black people, let's make slaves out of them. No, they were enslaved because it was profitable to certain Black tribes. Bet y'all didn't know that. And when England wanted to end slavery, there were people in Africa who told them, please don't end slavery because it is so profitable to us. The first person who owned a slave here in the United States was a Black man. Oh, of course they don't tell you that. They always want to imbibe on that theology about the evils of the white man. The white man is the devil. The white man this, the white man that. But they don't look at themselves. And see, this is something I was talking about. On a show the other night, you know, this guy called in and he said that the Jews have destroyed everything. The reason why we're in such turmoil is because the Jews. And I said, well, excuse me, but we need to look to ourselves when things go wrong. We need to look at ourselves and say, how can I right this wrong instead of putting it off? Because when you put it off on a group of people, you're absolving yourself of any type of responsibility. You're saying the reason why Black people can't get ahead in society because they're a white man. No, I'll tell you why Black people can't get ahead in society. And get ready, because some of y'all are going to be offended, because a lot of us are lazy. And we're always looking for a doggone handout from somebody. We always cry to the government, oh, government, please, 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 we're poor. We need some money. Come on, please help us. And I told you, okay, well, yeah, I'll help you out, but I'm not going to let you get above a certain level. $16 trillion spent on the war on poverty, and poverty is as prevalent today as it has ever been. That's why they voted for Obama, because they were like, oh, Obama's going to give us some. Oh, that Obama phone. I want that Obama phone. And if you would look back, you'd be like, wait a minute. Oh, I thought Obama was going to do this for me. You know, Peggy Joseph. Oh, I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying a mortgage. Because if I help him, he's going to help me out. Like Obama knows you personally. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. AABBCC, I'm not even going to get into dialogue with you. I see you talking about how much was spent on the war on terror. I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not going there. Because you're missing the point. you're missing the point. I'm not going there. And me, I'm like this. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to be me. I don't let people define who I am. Like I said on the show the other day, you know, I was sharing the experience when I was a missionary. Someone came up to me and they told me, you need to go back to Africa and find out where you're really from and find out who your real name really is. And I said, let me tell you something. My name is Vincent Edward Brown. I was born on October the 16th, 1968, in a place called Roanoke, Virginia, which is a part of the United States of America. My father's name was Donald Lee Brown, and my mother's name was Barbara Faye Brown. Okay, that Vincent Edward Brown is the only name I've ever known. Roanoke, Virginia is my hometown. Grew up in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Graduated from Friendly Senior High School in June of 1986. Been living here in Durham, North Carolina. I love this country. I love my country. I love the red, white, and blue. I think whenever I see the stars and stripes, I think it is the most beautiful flag ever made. It's the simplest flag, but I think it is the most beautiful flag ever made. And whenever I see a flag flying, I'm like, that flag is flying for my country. And don't get me wrong, We got boneheads in this country. We got people trying to turn this country into a socialist state, trying to redistribute the wealth. This Obamacare fiasco, a lot of people are going to learn that it's not the saving grace that a lot of people think it's going to be. But you know what? We can still express our views in this country, no matter what the ACLU or the NEA says. We can still express our views. And, you know, ACLU might penalize you for praying in school or something like that, but you're really not going to take prayer out of schools. You're really not. You're not going to take prayer out of schools. You know, Madeline Murray O'Hara back in the early 60s, you know, she said it was unconstitutional to pray, and they made it illegal for mandatory prayer in school and everything. But, you know, the ACLU wants to take it a step further and say get rid of anything that does with the Bible or anything, you know, Ten Commandments, stuff like that, you know. They tell you that the Bible is a book of fantasy, but they allow the children to read Harry Potter and science fiction books and things like that. I mean, really. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, and, you know, y'all can come on here, you know, Green Dog and AABC, y'all can say whatever you want to. But like I said, I'm an intellectual person, and I'm going to figure things out. I'm going to study. I'm going to research. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I know everything. No, I'm not going to say that. Nobody knows everything. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But Barack Obama is the worst president we have ever had in history. I'm going to say that. He is the worst. Worse than President Jimmy Carter, which that's saying a lot. And he did make history with his last election. He is the worst president to ever get reelected. Of course, we know he's the first president whose approval rating went down, and he still got reelected. Now, I'm not on here to sing the praises of the Republicans or the conservatives or anything like that. All I'm about is the truth. That's all I'm about. But we had a better president with George Bush, even with all his flaws. I'll even go so far to say we had a better president with Bill Clinton. You know, the one y'all call the first black president? We had a better president with him. I mean, really. But we haven't had anybody as narcissistic. I guess that's the word, narcissistic, as the man we have in the White House right now. We need to be discussing about the fiscal cliff and everything, and he decided to take a trip to Hawaii on taxpayer expense. And me, I'm like this, and I might offend some people when I say this. I'm going to say this. If the Republicans see this country go over the fiscal cliff just to stick with their guns, I say so be it. Stick with your guns. Don't cost. If you have a principle, see, that's the problem in this country. We have too many people compromising their principles. It's a compromise to a lot of people. That's what is messing up this country. We are compromising too much. We already know what the Democrats are about. The Democrats, they're going to come out, yeah, this is what we want, yada, 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 you know. And the Republicans, they come out with something optional, and the Democrats shout them down. They're like, okay, Democrats, okay, we're sorry. We didn't mean it. We didn't mean it. I tell you what, we'll bargain with you. No! Don't bargain with them, because all they're about is getting this country down into the mud. Just like I said the other day, you know, Barack Obama was singing the praises of the public school system. And I said, if I had a chance to sit with Barack Obama and he came up to me with that garbage, I'd be like, you know, okay, so you want to talk about the public school system and sing its praises and everything, and how we need to keep on putting money into it and everything and stuff like that. So how come your two adorable daughters are going to a private school? $24,000 a year, I believe it is. And it's surrounded by 11 armed security. You want to talk about gun control and everything? Well, how come your two adorable daughters are going to a school in which people pay $24,000 a year, a private school at that? How come your daughters aren't in the public school system? Oh, you want to sing the praises of the public school system, but you got your daughters in a private school. Tell me that, Mr. President. And see, that's the kind of hard-hitting questions the Republicans need to use against the Democrats. Don't back down. Don't say, no, if I ask that question, that's going to cause some trouble. No, I ain't going to do that. No. Ask them straight up. And don't bat an eyelash. Don't bat an eyelash. And I want to ask Green Dog, how is it that George Bush is guilty of treason? I don't think treasonous. You know, like I said, he had his flaws and everything, but I don't see why he would be accused of treason. Please tell me that. I mean, really. I mean, please tell me. I mean, when you all throw these accusations around, you got to have something to back it up. When you say, oh, George Bush is guilty of treason, tell me guilty of treason. Someone tell me why that George Bush hates black people, you know, because of Hurricane Katrina. Someone tell me that. You know, that's another one I'm waiting on. You know, maybe Kanye West will come call in and give his point of view. I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's this VORP, V-O-R-P? What is this? You know, I'm seeing this. I don't know what this VORP is. And, yes, the GOP should have signed off on the NDAA because the NDAA gives people the right to incriminate folks without a trial, pretty much, in the simplest of terms. So, yes, I would have signed off on it, too, you know. And Jermaine, yes, both parties have sold out to special interests. It's sad to say, but yes, they have. And he follows up by saying, "Our republic is dying." Yes, it is. And see, people, one thing we have to understand, one thing we have to understand is we live, we are supposed to be living in we're supposed to be living in a republic, not a democracy. Now, we do have a democratic process, like, you know, the voting process and everything, stuff like that. But democracy is not supposed to be the head rule, the head of rule. We live in a when we live in a republic, we live in a nation of laws. And this is not about mob rule, which was, excuse me, which is what a democracy is. And also, democracy also means rule by the uneducated. Bet y'all didn't know that. We do have a democratic process within the laws, but it's not the law. We live in a republic, which means we are a nation of laws, which means we need to be running this country according to the Constitution. Not because some people, oh, well, you know, I don't like that. Never. Nah, if you don't like that, amend the Constitution. But one thing the Constitution is not is a living, breathing document, you know, like a lot of people say. It's a living, breathing document. We interpret it according to the ideals of the day. No, And see that's the problem religious folks have about the Bible. They want to interpret the Bible according to the ideals of today as well. And it doesn't surprise me that a lot of these people who these big name preachers, T.D. Jakes, few others, voted for Obama. They voted for Obama simply because he was black. T.D. Jakes was a chill when Barack Obama was nominated as a Democratic candidate. He felt a chill. A chill. If you want to feel a chill, just step outside in Alaska on a cold morning. You get all the chills you want. And most of our black churches followed suit and voted for Barack Obama. And then they talk about, oh, hallelujah, oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, hallelujah. Does Jesus approve of taking someone's hard-earned money and giving it to somebody else in the issue of fairness? Does Jesus approve of abortion? Does Jesus approve of homosexual marriage? I'll give you the straight-up answer for all three. No, he does not. No. And a lot of these people, they're the ones that do the shout, oh, yeah, hallelujah, get your shout on, all right, yeah. But they vote for a man who doesn't even agree with their faith. Well, apparently he does agree with their faith, you know, hypocrisy, because that's basically all it is. If you voted for Barack Obama and you call yourself a Christian, you're a hypocrite. I'm just going to say that. You're a hypocrite. So I guess you did vote for the right candidate. I wasn't caught up into all the black thing. I've never really been caught up into the black thing, you know. When I was a kid, I was like, why do we have to have Black History Month? Why? Why? It's just like Morgan Freeman said, and you know, Morgan Freeman, he's a hypocrite too, but he said, why do we need Black History Month? Black history is American history. So why do we need a month for it? Oh, we got this month so we can learn all about Black history. And you notice that Black History Month is in the shortest month of the year. You ever notice that? Why could have been in August? You know, August, 31 days and everything. August don't have no holidays or anything. Why could Black History Month? You know, why there had to be a month that has that alternates between 28 and 29 days? And why don't we have Jewish History Month or White History Month or Chinese History Month or something like that? Why we got to have Black History Month? It's all part of history. And most folks, most Black folks shouldn't even be celebrating Black history. They shouldn't even be celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. To them, it's just a day off. That's all it is. A lot of people in these Black churches, you know, they talk about, I have a dream, I have a dream. You shouldn't even be celebrating. You shouldn't even be talking about Martin Luther King Jr.'s I have a dream. Because you don't even believe in it. You don't. Let your Black daughter come home from college or something and say, you all, this is my fiance, and he turns out to be a white man. Oh, my goodness, you disown your daughter. Oh, you forgot the part where it says people won't be judged by the color of their skin but by the content of their character. Oh, you just caught up in, oh, he's white. He's white. How dare you marry a white man? What the white man has done to us. What, that white man? The one I'm marrying? What did he do to you? His whole race is responsible for us being enslaved. Shut up. Just shut up. And you got families that won't talk to their children because they marry someone outside of their race. So don't come to me with this, you know, I have a dream. Nah, because you don't believe in it. I know it's tight, but it's right. Put some cotton in your shoes. I know I'm stepping on some toes. And boy, oh my goodness. End of the year brings out all kinds of things out of you, doesn't it? And, oh my goodness, Mary just brought up an interesting point. Mary's my mom. I call her my mom. Mary just brought up an interesting point. And she said, why did Blacks fight for equality and now they want segregation? Yeah. When you say, I don't want my child marrying a white person, you're segregating your families. Now, me, I'm married to a Black girl, yeah. In a way, I kind of think of it as a mixed race because she's from Africa. She's from Liberia. But I didn't make it mandatory that I was supposed to marry a Black person. If I met a Chinese woman and we hit it off, okay. If I met a white woman and we hit it off, it didn't matter to me. And I don't know why it matters to anyone. If the two can get together and have children and everything, why does it matter? All you're caught up in is the color of their skin. And when you get caught up in a person's color of their skin, and I'm talking about Black folks, I'm talking about white folks, I'm talking about Hispanic, I'm talking about Oriental, if you get caught up in a person's color of their skin, that is showing the racist attitude inside of you. Oh, but Black people can't be racist because we don't have the power. Yeah, right. You're still a racist. A racist is a racist. Is a racist is a racist. And yes, Black people, you are some of the worst racists in this country. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? When you have people, when you have two boneheads standing in front of a polling place in Philadelphia with clubs in their hands intimidating people to vote for Barack Obama, that is racist. When you have one of the leaders talking about, I hate all white people, I hate crackers, all of them, you are a racist. When you talk about, we're going to have to kill some white people, we're going to have to kill some crackers and maybe kill some of their babies, you are a racist. I don't care if you are Black. You are a racist. Wow. See, there they go again. Black people can't be racist because they don't have the power, except the most powerful man on earth is Black. Black people can be racist. They have nothing to do with what power you have. You can be the poorest person in the world, you can be a racist. You're a racist. I mean, really. And keep in mind, you know, a lot of you people, wait a minute. What do you mean Vince doesn't understand sarcasm? Author of sarcasm. Okay, I'm not the author of it, but I drew the illustrations in the book. How about that? I understand sarcasm. I don't understand what you mean when you say that. But people keep in mind that a lot of us in this country who are black, and we've been, you know, our ancestry, you know, has gone back about 100, 200, 300, 400 years. Most of us have a little bit of devil in us, you know, the white people we talk about. I know for one thing, I have a little bit of German in me. I have a little bit of Scottish-Irish, and I have a little bit of Cherokee in me. But when you see me, you're like, oh, he's a black man. Yeah, and typically that's what I am. I'm a black man. But I have all that running within me too. And y'all, the garbage that you can't be a racist because you don't have the power. That is stupid. You are a fruit bat when you say that garbage. That is stupid. That's the stupidest, one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life. Oh, you can't be a racist because you don't have the power. You are a racist because you esteem your race above everybody else. You esteem black theology above northern white European theology. That's racist. Don't give me that garbage. Don't give me that garbage. Now, y'all the ones that said the white people are the devil. Y'all the ones, y'all the ones that equate white people to the devil. I didn't, now, see, you don't understand sarcasm. See, the very thing you accuse me of, you're guilty of yourself. I'm just using y'all's terminology, so don't even go there. You know, and matter of fact, let me do this. I'm going to do this. And, oh, the kick is up. Oh, it's good. I just kicked somebody off of my chat page. Let's see, my ex-wife is white, and I'm here to tell you white woman is the devil is true. No, it isn't. And thank you, BG Street. Racism is found in all races. Everybody can be a racist. It's in all races. So where they get this garbage that you're only a racist if you have the power? Don't give me that mess. Don't give me that. I've seen them. You know, being in a black race, I've seen it against me because of my skin color, because I'm a little bit darker than a lot of other people. When you talk about how dark-skinned and light-skinned people are, you're racist. We used to say that dark-skinned people were ugly. Light-skinned people, you know, people wanted a light-skinned pretty woman. They wanted that. That's racist. That's racist. I'm sorry. If you don't understand that, then you're the one with the problem. And Sandman 1973 is right. Politicians use race to divide like everything else they do. They use race to divide. They use economic status to divide. They use it all. And what a lot of our politicians, our conservative politicians, what they need to do, they need to stand up and say, okay, I might get called racist for this, but you're going to hear my point of view. Don't people look, people, the truth is not popular. The truth is not popular. And it's not going to be popular because it cramps a lot of people's style. It comes in and messes up their little utopias and everything, and they want to. But let me tell you something about the truth. The truth is harder than a diamond. It's the final element of all things. You can't break a piece off of it and give it out to people. You can't sand it down. You can't melt it down. You can't blow it up or anything. The truth is the truth. And I'll go so much to say this. Jesus is the truth. The Bible says that I am the truth, the way, and the life. John 14:6. And those of you all who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you want to argue with me about that, well, I have nothing to say to you. If you're an atheist, I have nothing to say to you, really. I don't have a thing to say to you. So don't even try to debate with me. I have nothing to say to you, nothing at all. So, you know, don't even come and try, you know, oh, that man's religion and all that. Man, shut up. Well, if it's the white man's religion, how come one of the central figures, you think he's black? Tell me. One of the central figures in the Bible, who is Jesus? Why do you think he's black? But you want to call it the white man's religion. What do you mean? What would I say to a 40-foot tall owl god? I don't worship no owls. I don't worship big garbage. And how much does it take to get to your common sense? I mean, really. You know, I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. Bohemian Grove. Jermaine, now why you got to put that on here? Jermaine, come on now. Man of the year, Nancy Pelosi. You know what? He might be true about that because she seemed more man than a lot of men in Congress. I'm just going to be honest with you. She's not. You know who I should think should be the person of the year? And what's the name of that teacher that shielded the kids when that madman started shooting up the school and everything? I forgot the name of that teacher. I think that should be the man of the year. Really, I think that should be the man of the year. That's my own personal preference. That lady who used herself as a shield to protect her students, I think she should be the man of the year. My opinion. That's my opinion. You know, you might have your choice and everything, and you might have a good choice too. But my opinion is that lady who shielded her students from getting shot by that madman a few weeks ago. And that's something else that somebody wanted to politicize, you know, whether we should have guns and all that craziness. You know, people, the statistics are out there. Whenever you outlaw guns, gun crimes go up. They tried it in Europe. Gun crimes went up in England. They went up 40%. Same thing in Australia. They told people they outlawed guns and gun crimes went up 40%. People were upset about back in 2008 when they lightened up on gun control in Washington, D.C. Everybody's like, oh, Washington, D.C. is going to be a shooting gallery. It already was. I know because I used to live in D.C. It was nothing for us to hear at nighttime. It was nothing. You know, oh, yeah, they're up there shooting their guns. And people were, oh, it's going to turn into a shooting gallery. D.C. already was. Matter of fact, D.C. had one of the highest, probably was number one as far as gun crimes for a period of time. And guess who was involved in most of those gun crimes? Black folks. Black folks. I'm telling you, those are people who are more responsible for gun crimes in this country. In Chicago, they done had their 500th murder this year. Of course, we want to talk about gun control and everything, but we don't want to talk about that Chicago has had 500 murders, and most of them were committed by black people against other black people. And we want to sit there and cry about, we got so many black people in prison. This is a sign of racism. Oh, we got so many black people in prison. I'll tell you why. They're criminals. So you're going to sit there and tell me not one black person is supposed to be in prison, but they're just there because the evil white man put them there. Look, let me tell you all something. I just turned 44 years old. I ain't never had a problem with the police. Never. Not one time have I had a problem with the police. You know why? Because I kept myself clean. Yeah, I did some things sneaky and underhanded every now and then. But when I became mature and became an adult, you know what? I look back, I said, no, I can't do those things anymore. Has nothing to do with you being black. So don't give me that stuff. Why do we have so many black people in prison? Because they criminals. They want to shoot and kill somebody over a pair of shoes, over a jacket, or because someone looked at them funny. They're criminals. That's why they're in prison. Don't get me wrong. There are people in prison probably now that shouldn't be there and probably got railroaded, but they are the exception and not the norm. You're not going to tell me that not one black person deserves to be in prison. I already told you all, my mom up in Washington, D.C., she was on jury duty, and 11 of the jurors declared this man guilty, and they said he was guilty without a doubt he was guilty. But this one lady, she wanted to hold out simply because she didn't want to see another black person go to jail. Well, maybe one day, maybe when he is freed and everything, he'll come to that lady and thank her. And I'm not going to tell you how he would thank her. Yeah. I'm not, you know, we, and people, let me go back to this. When Barack Obama was reelected, a lot of us, we lost hope. We were just like, oh, my goodness, it's over. The United States of America is over. See, when you say that, you gave up the fight. You gave up the fight. I know you can feel discouraged and everything, but you gave up the fight. You're like, okay, the nation's going to the dogs. I'm just going to, you know, whatever comes by. You still have to, we might have to fight a little bit harder now, but we can't give up the fight. I was discouraged too. I was too. But be honest with you, I don't think we would have been much better with Mitt Romney, really. I'm just going to be straight up and honest with you. And you might disagree with me about it. That's fine. But I don't think we would have been much better with Mitt Romney. But a lot of us, we gave up the fight. We were just like, okay, well, Barack Obama's been reelected. There's nothing left to fight for anymore. No, the fight continues. And it's like what I heard someone say one time. As long as your king can make a move, you're still alive. You know, like when you're in chess and everything, if your king hasn't been checkmated and he can still make a move, you're still alive. You're still in the fight. And that's what we all have to do. And we just have to roll up our shirt sleeves and we have to get into it. But see, the problem with the Republicans is they don't know how to fight. They don't know how to fight. You don't bring boxing rules to a kung fu match because you're going to get your tail whooped. You got to hit fire with fire. And that's the sad thing about the roots. And Roy Nation, let me let you know something. Look back at history and tell me who are the people who sent us to war the most often. Who sent us to war the most often? Woodrow Wilson, John Kennedy, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Tell me what party affiliation did those people have? I'll even go so far to say the Black Hawk Down case, Mogadishu, Who sent us in there? So don't talk about Republicans. Don't talk about Republicans are a bunch of warmongers and that they love war. Look back at history and see who sent us to war more often. And not only that, FDR, who is a Democrat, who was a Democrat, he sent us into World War II, which employed the use of atomic bombs. So don't come up with this thing about Republicans are a bunch of warmongers. Don't even go there. Don't go there. And here he goes with the slavery. Don't talk to me about slavery. Don't talk to me about slavery. That's the old bag I'll keep reaching into, old slavery. We don't have slavery today. I don't think you understand that. Not in the United States anyway. And if you want to talk about slavery, let's talk about slavery in the Sudan. We always want to talk about slavery in this country, but we don't talk about it in the Sudan. And I actually had someone tell me, there's no slavery in the Sudan. I said, you're very misinformed. The reason why you don't think it, because, you know, your news media hasn't told it to you. I believe it's in the southern parts of the Sudan. Slavery's still going on. But nobody says anything about that. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Malik Shabazz, Louis Farrakhan, don't say anything about it. They're all they're concerned about is the evil white man in this country. And just like Sam Mann said, the party that opposed civil rights in the 60s, the ones who created Jim Crow laws, and yes, they created the KKK, was the Democrat Party. And don't give me this garbage that the parties have switched roles today. That's a bunch of stupidity. That's just one little ace you got up your sleeve to argue your point. The parties didn't switch roles. The Democrats just switched tactics. But they didn't switch roles. So don't even go there. Don't go there. And you know, Roy Nation, I told you I'm not going to talk to you about the subject of slavery because I know where y'all going with that. I know where you're going to go with that. I know where you're going to go. You know, it's the same old song. You know, what about slavery? What about slavery? We ain't had slavery in this country for almost 200 years, we're going on 200 years. So don't, you know, just don't go there. Don't go there. Speak up, it's hard to hear you. I don't think you want to hear what I have to say, Roy Nation. I don't think you want to hear what I have to say. You really don't. So don't even go there. I mean, you know, and liberal hatred, you know, just like Sam Mann said, liberal hatred is a cause of a lot of frustration in my life, you know, because I look at it and I'm like, man, you have got to be kidding me. And people won't open their eyes and they won't examine the claims of racism against, they won't examine the claims of racism in the conservative bunch. They won't observe it. They won't look at it and see if it is really true. They just go by, like I say all the time, most people, that most information they get is when they come home from work, they throw that jacket down on the couch, they sit down on the couch and they turn on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. Fox News has its flaws, but Fox News is the best. It's the best news station out of all of them by far. I don't watch Fox News because I don't have satellite TV. I wasn't bringing in enough finances last year. My satellite got repossessed, so you know. But I still like to listen to Sean Hannity, and you know, yes, I like to listen to the big old bigot Rush Limbaugh. I do like listening to those people, and yes, I do listen to them. I'm not a fan, so to speak. You know, I've been accused of that. Someone actually told me that I was a fan of Glenn Beck. Who told you that lie? I'm not a fan of Glenn Beck. I like a lot of what Glenn Beck says, but when it comes to religion or whatever like that, he and I part ways. Same thing with Sean Hannity, same thing with Rush Limbaugh, but I like what they say about how we should be running this country. So I'm not their fan. I just like what they say. And if somebody put Rush Limbaugh and Al Sharpton in a room and someone told me, point out the racist, I point out Al Sharpton. And yes, BG Street, the Democrats are the racists, period. Yes, I agree with you 2025 when you say that. The Democrats are the racists. They want to throw out that race card all the time, but they're the racists. They always have been. You know, you go to their site, they say, we have always led the fight for civil rights. Don't lie. Don't tell that lie. Y'all wanted to keep the slaves in slavery. Woodrow Wilson, Democrat, when he got into office, he did away with a lot of the civil rights advancements that black people had up to that time. Can someone please tell me why the first black Democrat was elected to office in the 1930s, when the first black Republicans were elected not long after the Civil War in the 1800s? And see, I didn't know this until about 6 years ago. I didn't know. I was like, oh my goodness, I did not know that we had black people in Congress in the 1800s. And see, this is why ignorance is such a tool of those on the left, because they can tell you anything. That's why they want to down, because they can sit there and tell you anything. Dumbing down of the human population has been the biggest weapon for the liberals. Because when you dumb people down, you can tell them anything and they'll believe it. And sad to say, a great majority of the black population has been dumbed down, and that's why they follow the Democrat Party so blindly. They don't look back and say, okay, we heard about this war on poverty, but poverty is as strong as it's ever been. So where's the war on poverty? Oh, you talk about the war on drugs, and there ain't no war on drugs, ain't no war on drugs, ain't no war on poverty either. Put all that money into the war on poverty. 16, $17 trillion has been spent on the war on poverty, and now you got more of us on food stamps, more of us on welfare. There ain't no war on no poverty. That's giving people entitlement so you can get some votes. That's what that is. That's why they got that Obama phone. You see that lady? Yeah, Obama gave me a phone. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, oh gosh, oh my goodness. And she'll probably base her vote on, she'll probably say, you know, that's her basis for voting for Obama because Obama gave her a phone. And I'm looking like, oh gosh, please, someone give me some Aleve or something, you know. Or tell you, yeah, just give me a big old hammer and let me just end it all, you know? I mean, it's crazy, people. It's crazy. Okay, let me get this caller. Let me get this caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller, Barbara Buffing. How are you
That's,
doing?
I'm good. How are you? Well, I've been listening to your show and it's been wonderful. And I've been reading this chat and I'm confused. Boy, I don't know who all these, well, I know some of them, don't know all of them, but I really wish that they would, especially Roy Nation there. I wish he would take the crap out of his ears and finally listen to somebody, because he goes into everybody's blog talk shows and you know, says the same things.
And all other shows.
So he really needs to learn how to listen so he can listen to learn, because you're right on the money with a lot of things, you know. And I grew up without color. You know, you're a person. You're a person, a human being. It doesn't matter. People are just really, I don't know, insane about that stuff. But, you know, as I'm reading the chat, it's about class. Well, you know, it is about class warfare. There's no, you're either rich or poor. And, you know, I've shared this before that I go to school so I can become, not rich, but I want to live more comfortable. And they talk about affordable school and affordable this, affordable that. Well, I don't know who the hell can afford it because I can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I used to be what you call middle class, but there's no such thing anymore. You know, I live hand to mouth. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Paycheck. And I know I'm not the only one, so I'm not whining about it. I'm just stating the fact.
Yeah.
And the nerve for this president to give an executive order to give raises. Oh my God.
I saw, yeah.
is that a punch in our faces? How dare he?
Yeah.
But actually, I just saw that Democrat is, a Democrat representative is moving to have that squashed. Anyway, I just wanted to call in and let you know that I've been listening. I've been reading the chats. And yes, you know what? I did grow up without color because people are people, yeah. Roy. Did you not hear me when I said that?
He's missing the point. He's totally missing the point.
He is.
You know.
He's just a troll. That's right, Mary. He's a troll. But
So, anyway,
just wanted to call in, and I really enjoy your show. I listened to it the other day, actually earlier today from your show the other day. I'm really glad you came on Rick's show over at Conservative Nation Radio. And introduced yourself because now we have a new friend, and I'm really glad to be with you.
That was a great show. I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to ask you something. Are you in the Raleigh-Durham area? Are you the one in the Raleigh-Durham area?
Yes, I am.
Ah, okay. Now I know who I'm talking to. Got two of us.
I am. We'll have to have coffee one day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would really make my everything would, you know.
All right. Well, we'll hook up. We're friends on Facebook, so you could, whenever you get a chance, we can go ahead and message each other, and we can work something out.
Yeah, I really greatly appreciate that because I'm a top person, don't know everything, and always want to hear you and everything and stuff like that. And, you know, me meeting somebody new, somebody who has a uniqueness of their own and everything, it really does make my day. It does. And
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited. And I want to wish everybody a very happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
And we're going to make it the best year, aren't we?
Yes, sir, we are.
We're not going to give up the fight.
No, we're not. We're going to let our voices be heard. Louder and louder, because there's more and more of us.
And yes, Roy Nation, I am black. Yes, I am. But if you look at the title of my show, it's called Black by Color Only. It's just my skin color. I don't get all
hooked
up on.
Oh, my God, but you're human.
Yes, I am black, but it's only my skin color, not my ideals. So I don't get caught up in that mess. But anyway, Barbara, thank you for calling in. I really thank you for this. It really does me a lot of good when I have people come in and they tell me how much it was appreciated because informed enough or given enough details? Because, like I said, a lot of what I now I've just learned within it's been, you know, I'm still just learning and continuing to learn,
Okay, you're breaking up.
Okay, all right.
Well, thank you, and we will get up to with each other soon.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Take care.
That is Barbara, Conservative Nation. I believe it's called Conservative Nation Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. They come out. They come on at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and I just invite anybody to check it out. You know, so And Roy, it doesn't matter who all here is black. I look, like I said, I don't care who's black or whatever. I really don't care about that mess. I don't care about your skin color. You know, you come on here, you talk about the truth and everything. I don't care if it comes from a black person or a white person or whatever. You know, and like I said, truth is universal. But you all, I'm going to begin to wind this show down because. From what I see, I have about 4 minutes left in the show. And I just want to say it has been a great year. Earlier this year, I wasn't able to do a show for a while because of my finances and everything until I got the new job and I was on. And I really appreciate everybody who has come on the show and given me their word of encouragement and everything. And this is the last show of the year, you know, today being New Year's Eve and everything. But when we come into the other new year, we're going to hit the ground running and everything. And I want to encourage anybody, if you have something to say, if you need an outlet to say what you want to say, get your station on Blog Talk Radio. I'm paying about $40 a month for a 2-hour show, you know. And it's not much. It's not much per month, you know. Like I said earlier this year, I can afford it because my finances, yes, they were that low. But it's really not that much a month and everything. And just and because I look at this is not about me. It's not about you sitting down and say, okay, let me listen to what Vincent has to say. That's only part of it. Let me listen to what Vincent has to say, and maybe I can add to the conversation, you know. And me, I'm the type of person, I will sit down, I will listen, I love the information from other people. You know, it's not about me. It's about the truth. You know, and for those of you all who are offended by my black color or my biblical beliefs and everything, well, I'm sorry, you know, that's just who I am. And if you don't like that, well, you can go to another show where they agree with you. But here, like I said, it's not about me or anything. It's about the truth. And I follow the truth, and that truth is Jesus. You know, Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. And for those of you all who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you to invite him into your heart today. You know, and don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. You know, and the center of my belief system is biblical truth, and that's what I'm going to institute into all of my shows. So if you don't like a person who's a Christian, if you have a problem with Christians, then you need to go somewhere else. You know, because I'm going to go from a biblical perspective, and I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. Politically, I consider myself a conservative, but I really don't like saying that. I'm a born-again Christian, and I go along biblical lines. If you're for the Bible, I'm for you. If you're against the Bible, I can't support you. But anyway, just like to say to everybody, I hope everybody has a blessed new year. We will take this thing up on the in the new year. And you all, this Saturday, starting a series called Profit or Loss, PROPHET or Loss. And we'll talk about some of these big-name preachers and why they are adding to the problems that we are seeing in this country today. So Thank you for coming to the show. It's been a great year, and continue the fight. This is Benson E. Brown. I'm signing off, and until the next time, I'll see you on The Rebound. Y'all have a good night. I probably can. Yeah. Yeah, you can share it. You can share it. Just hit the share button at the bottom. Yeah. When you click on it. Yeah.